Yes, open lines here in the wee hours. Let's go back to George on Oahu in Hawaii. George, so you and your buddy, you're driving to Vegas, two girls in the back. You see this unsavory character on the side of the road, and you stop to pick him up. What happens?
Well, George, we pulled off to the side of the road, and needless to say, the girls in the back are a little scared. Like, what are you guys doing? So,
I don't blame them.
Yeah, looking back, wasn't a smart idea. And so, sure enough, we pull over, and the unsavory guy kind of straddles up to the car and opens the rear door. It was like an older Camry we were driving. And he jumps in the back seat next to the girl. And talk about awkward, George. It was really awkward.
It was. So, I mean, it's, first of all, you've got this unknown guy in the back seat sitting behind you. God knows what he was going to do.
It was. That's exactly what I was thinking. And it was this awkward pause as we drove off and started back on the freeway. There was a few moments of just real awkward quietness, you know, that awkwardness. And I tried to turn around and break the ice because I realized that, you know what, this is really weird. Maybe I can get this guy to talk or something. And so I turn around and I notice he's kind of wearing clothes that are kind of beat up. Maybe he's been through some tough times or something. And
yeah,
he's holding on to like a double-wrapped Vons shopping bag. You know, like those little plastic bags you'd get from the store or something?
Yeah, sure.
And he's got it clutched real tight on his lap, and he's just sitting there as we're driving. So I turn around, and I say, hey, how's it going? You know, my name's George, and we're headed to Vegas, and, you know, what's your name? And he doesn't say anything.
Oh.
Just a pure silence.
Now you're wondering, how do I get this guy out of the car, right?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And so I try something else to break the ice. I say, hey, what do you got in your bag there? And he turns around with his glare. He looks up at me with these big black eyes, and he says, it's none of your business what's in my bag. George, my heart dropped. Oh. I was so scared.
And the girls are freaking, right? Yeah.
Oh, I turned to them, and I could see them clenching their fists and, you know, almost tears in their eyes. And so, you know, my buddy at this point in time, he's a pretty big guy. He's driving the car, and he turns around, and he says, hey, listen, pal, you know, we picked you up, and we just wanted to make sure that you don't have any guns or drugs or anything illegal in that bag, you know? Like, you don't want to be responsible for it. He says to me again, all of us, it's none of your business what's in my bag. And so at this point in time, one of the girls, her name was Andrea, she puts her hand on his shoulder. She says, listen, it's okay. We just want to know what's in your bag. And he grabs her arm and he squeezes it real tight and he says, it's none of your business what's in my bag. Well, you know what, George? That was the last straw. My buddy pulled the car over and we both jumped out. And I went to that back door and we opened up and we got him out of there. And he wanted to fight, but, you know, he ended up just kind of running away when we stepped up to him. And then we jumped back in the car and we kept driving. And the funniest thing, George, is it was another awkward silence and one of the girls says, you guys, guess what? He left his bag in the back seat.
No.
Yeah.
What was in it?
None of your business.
Great story. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. That was a great story. George from Oahu got us. Let's go to Mark in Palm Desert, California. Hey, Mark, you're on the show. Go ahead.
Hey, Mark. Thank you. Listen, George, I love the show. I've been listening for 20 years or whatever.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, you cut a large wake for a lot of people. And what do they say? The best compliment is to be mimicked. And there's a lot of people out there. What I'm thinking is, how do we get a day of enlightenment, you know, where all the coast-to-coasters meet at one place? And we, a day of transparency where the GMO people are there, you know, what the government's intent is. I mean, I think these marches on Washington do a big thing, and especially where the president's trust level is, because I see 2014, what I see is if we don't make a move here soon, it's going to be too late, too.
Well, you might be right. You know, we've kicked around some ideas of being, you know, advocates of certain issues and, you know, helping to arrange some things like that, because something's got to be done down the line.
Well, I have a ghost story for you, too.
Okay. What do you got?
So when I was about, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, when you'd hide out and sneak a cigarette, I'm 55, so this would have been like the early 70s. I had a friend of mine, Timmy, and his mother used to burn incense and, you know, had the tarot cards, and she let little Timmy drink beer at the house and smoke cigarettes, and so he was kind of like the cool kid, you know? And he had a pool over there. And in any case, I don't know if we had a sleepover or what, but he used to tell me all the time his house was haunted. And I took a shower one, I guess maybe we had a sleepover or something. And I took a shower, and this is a true story, and I dropped the soap. And when I went to look for it, it was gone.
What do you mean?
And this is a tub. It's not a shower. It's a tub. The soap could not have gone anywhere.
Where'd it
go? So right then I thought, well, there's more out there than I know about. And I'm not sleeping at this house anymore.
I mean, I got to tell you, have you ever, Mark, walked into your house, put your keys down, went back for the keys, and they're gone? You can't find them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is bizarre. And then you walk around a little bit, and you find them. They're where you thought they were.
Well, I don't know how this soap would have escaped, and I got out and I told the mother, and the mother just smiled, and Timmy said, "I told you so," and they had cupboards doing things, and I was like, "Wow!" But yeah, I think that this economy and the people, they're not going to know until it's on top of them. The caller that said they're moving in weapons and ammunition and stuff. I'm trying to figure out, I don't own a gun. I'm trying to figure out how to go about legally getting a gun. I'm in California, and they have the worst restrictions. I don't know how to protect. I take care of my 84-year-old mother.
Now, you can
and
get
I don't know.
I think you have to go to the sheriff in California, and then, you got the federal license that you have to go through an ID check.
I was in the military. Thank you for your Navy service. I'm also a sailor.
You are welcome. Thank you.
And
just go to a licensed gun store.
I should have no problem, I would think.
Right. It should be instant for you. Just go to a licensed firearm store, Mark, and you should be able to get that done. What is difficult in California is carrying a concealed weapon. A number of states in this country have allowed that. And they also have reciprocity, which means if you have it in Missouri, it might be good in another state as well, but there are several states that it's very difficult to carry a concealed weapon, and I happen to be a proponent of that. The criminals have guns. You don't in states like that, and they know it. It's so easy to take advantage and rob you when they know that. Debbie's in New York City. Hello, Debbie. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. How are you, Deb?
Hi, George. How are you? Thank you
Good.
For taking my call. Your call was just talking about what's going on and everything. My personal opinion is that right now the shadow government we have, I'm sorry, that they're not even 100% human beings. They are hybrids, and they are so well advanced that all this mass robbery and identity thief and accounts being,
Well, why do you think they're, why do you think they're hybrids? Tell me why.
Because there are too many things occurring, and they're treating the American public. They don't like it, too bad, they're going to have to deal with it. It's almost as they know that we are, like, zombitized.
Maybe they're just greedy people. What do you think? They like power.
Yeah, well, I think? I think that the real greedy people, they're not even here on this earth anymore. They've gone to start a new existence somewhere else. And just like the other caller said, I really have a feeling that 2014, it is not going to be a dream. We are going to see something that is really, really, some will survive and some won't.
Well, you might be right there, Deb, sadly.
Oh, yes.
You might be right. We'll have to sit and find out. We now go to Salt Lake City, Utah, where Jeremy is there waiting for us. And there you go. Hi, Jeremy.
George, good morning to you.
You too.
Hey, before we start, I wanted to wish you and your family and everybody at Coast to Coast a very Merry Christmas and prosperity and good luck for the new year.
And you too, Jeremy. Thank you. Very kind of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We were talking about the word pharmakia and how at one point in time that referred to sorcery and how that's kind of changed. We're also talking about pharmacology and how people are becoming zombies and even how drugs can open one up to demonic possession or oppression, as it were. And I've got kind of two stories, one that's personal to me and one that's personal to my wife.
Okay.
The one that's personal to me is the shorter story. I've suffered from bipolar depression for most of my life, and I've been on various antidepressants and antipsychotics and that to try and, you know, deal with that. And I've been in the hospital a couple times because of it. And I noticed that when I was on the medications, that I personally felt, and I've always described it as zombified. I've felt slow. I felt like my brain didn't work as quick. And yeah, my emotions were more manageable, but I just felt, for lack of a better word, dulled all the way around. You know, I didn't feel highs. I didn't feel lows. I just felt like I was just kind of there.
Yeah.
And was just not a pleasant experience. And now, for the story that goes to my wife served a mission with the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. She and I are both Mormons, LDS.
Okay.
And she served her mission in South Carolina. And she and her companion were at a prospective member's house who was interested in converting to the religion. And followed and what she found out later on was that she had been on painkillers, opiate painkillers, for quite a long time to deal with back pain, but had wound up becoming addicted to them. And at one time when they were at her house teaching her about the religion and that, she and her companion felt the room suddenly become hot and then become very cold. And they were watching this prospective member and had noticed her look away and her face become completely changed by terror.
Oh.
And her complete countenance of her face changed. My wife's a school teacher. She's a very logical and rational person. She's not prone to flights of fancy, delusions of grandeur. For a long time was a skeptic of demonic possession. But this changed her. She said that this woman saw something come into the room. They saw her countenance completely changed, and what she described is she went dark. Her eyes rolled up in the back of her head. She went stiff and convulsed for a while and then slumped over in her chair. And when she came to, and my wife and her companion were clutching each other, they were so scared. When she came to, her voice had changed, her appearance had changed, and the woman told them to leave. And my wife said that it was the most cold and evil and frightening voice she had ever heard.
Wow.
And they went out to their vehicle. The sisters don't ride bicycles like the brothers do. The elders do. They drive around in cars.
Okay.
And they called their mission president and told them what happened. And the mission president sent over a group of elders and from the description of it, performed an exorcism of sorts. And my wife was not privy to what exactly happened. They were both told to go back to their apartments and pray for this woman. And she talked to one of the elder missionaries that was there for it, and he said, I can't go too much into it, but we were there for most of the day fighting something.
Wow.
And,
did they win? Did they exorcise the woman?
The elders came by within about an hour. They had come to the house. And this happened in 2001. My wife and I have been married for 9 years. She said, you know, that when she talked to this elder, he was very shaken up, very emotional, very disturbed by what happened. He said, I had never seen anything like that in my life, and I never want to again.
I've been thinking, and Jeremy, that's a great story, of having a live exorcism on the program. Now, you know how I feel about the Ouija board, but this, I think, might be different because we'd be shrouded and surrounded with priests and things like that. So we may think about that. As a matter of fact, I think maybe we'll do an Insta poll next week, and I'll get you to vote, and that'll give me even a better perspective on whether to pursue this or not. Let's go next to Scotty on our international line in Ottawa, Canada. Hello, Scotty. How are things in Canada?
Cold.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
We love you up here in Canada.
Thank you. Well, we love our Canadian neighbors too, Scotty. And I love getting up there. I do events in Vancouver and Toronto. And I'm going to do them again this year coming up. Just a great country. It really is.
Thank you. I was wondering if you ever heard of Cone Nebula. It's spelled C-O-N-E.
Yeah, I sure have.
Oh, you've checked that out on the internet?
Now, you're talking about the nebula out there in space, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And we've gotten some great pictures from Hubble on that, haven't we?
Yeah, they were taken in the early 90s of this.
That's right.
It's also called the Jesus Nebula.
That's right. Why would you bring that up? I'm curious.
Because originally I saw it on TV, and it showed it on TV, and it was much, much clearer than what they show you on the internet.
Okay.
And to me, you know, it was this Jesus-type figure.
He's got a face.
Wearing a robe, holding a lamb in his arms.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the Bible says glory of God is shown in the heavens. And to me, that just really struck me. It's never left my mind since the early 90s when I saw it on TV.
Yeah, know? I mean, it's a strange image. It really is.
I tried Googling, a lot of the images, and it says restricted. They won't allow you to see certain images of that for whatever reason.
Really? Well, here's one of the things that might help you, too. You need to download Google Chrome, because I was getting a lot of images on YouTube and stuff. You couldn't pick them up. But if you go to Google Chrome, you can get them. That might be what's holding that back. Try that first and see what's happening.
Yeah, okay, I'll try that. Because sometimes it shows it too close and it's blurry, or it's too far and you don't see anything.
Yeah, download Google Chrome, it's called.
Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah,
give
it a shot. I don't know why the traditional, this happens a lot with YouTube, you know. I'll look at it because I want to get some clips if an actor dies or something like that, and I turn to, you know, areas like that. But if you go to regular Google, in some cases, you can't get those videos. You just can't get them. But if you use Google Chrome, you can. Maybe that's something I'm going to have to ask Lauren Weinstein about the next time he's on the program. I don't know why you could do it with one search engine and the other one you couldn't. Very strange indeed. We're going to come back in a moment. More open lines. This is a fast night tonight. It really is. I'll fill you in on what's in store next week as well when we come back right here on Coast to Coast AM. We've got a great week of programs for you right in the middle of the holidays. So I'm looking forward to that. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with more of your calls. Well, here's a little glimpse of the week ahead for you. On Saturday, John B. Wells will be talking with a couple guests who say that things are going to get much better. Be kind of nice to listen to for a change. On Sunday, Rob Simone in for George Knapp. He'll be talking about reincarnation. And then here we go for the rest of the week. We have a split show for you on Monday. I'll be talking in the first half to Dr. John McDougall, who will talk about why so many people are changing their diets and living longer. And then Hugh Ross joins us on why the universe is the way it is. On Tuesday, Rosemary Ellen Guiley joins me for a couple hours as we talk about miracles and angels, followed by your Christmas Eve open line miracle stories, and I want you to share those with me. on Wednesday, Christmas Day. It's behind this Christmas secret door. A number of guests, I have no idea who they will be. On Thursday, Ellen Whitehurst joins me as we make this your lucky day. We're going to talk about various ways you can change luck. On Friday, I'll be taking the day off, and Catherine Albrecht, one of our guests, and of course she has her own radio show, will be filling in for me. And then I'll be off to Los Angeles, where the show will start and pick up again when I get there on Monday. So that's the week ahead. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to our final segment of Open Lines, and to the phones we go, so we don't have to waste any time. Thomas is in New Jersey. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
Hello, Art. I mean, Tom, George.
You got it right. That's okay.
Well, the reason why I said Art, because I am 10 days younger than Art Bell.
So that would make you 67, but 10 days younger then.
Yes.
Okay, great.
The reason why I'm calling is because I like to bring up two subject matters that have never been, or I never heard, or anyone ever has talked about before on the show.
What are they?
The first subject matter is that the English language in its present form is inferior to the creative potentials of mind. This is why educators say children are only using a small amount of our mental potential. To solve that problem is that everything in the mind is stored energy. Energy has a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
The English language words have frequencies. To solve the problem so that we can reach our full creative potential of mind is learning to avoid the words that have low frequencies and only talk with words that have high frequencies. And this has nothing to do with meanings.
Give us an example.
A nice example. Domestic violence on women is a good example. Emotional energies are stored in the mind. They have a high frequency and a low frequency. The high frequencies of emotional stored energy in the mind, good times, happiness, love, mental brightness, wonderful attitudes. The low frequencies of stored mental energies in the mind, light, bright, light, violence.
All right. What do we do with
this? The main reason why violence is continuing, we never consider how stored energy in the mind works before we speak. In this modern age, learning how energy stored in the mind before we talk is more important than what we say. Emotional energy stored in the mind has a high frequency and low frequency. The miracle to end violence and to access our full creative potential of mind will happen when men and women learn how to stop talking with low-frequency words that access the low frequencies of emotional energies that are stored in the mind.
So you're basically saying if we change the way we speak, we're going to change the way we act.
Low-frequency words, it will allow all of us to reach a higher communication value. It will raise our frequency of our mind. We'll be more attracted to things, and we'll solve the problem of violence. To stop violence, all we have to do is to stop bringing the low frequencies of stored emotional energy to the surface. Only thing that is attached to the frequencies of words that are stored in the mind is high frequencies, low frequencies. For another example, you could tell if we're happy. We could tell if things are going great for us. This is a natural awareness that everyone has.
Sure.
You can use that awareness as a learning aid to identify the different frequencies that words contain. For example, the word K-N-O-W, no, 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 no. That's a low frequency. But if we change that and say, I know, and change it, we say, I understand. That's a higher frequency.
And it sounds better.
That's how it works. Every fight that happened, 50% of our divorces, the problems we're experiencing, the low frequencies, the out of phase with the creativity of how everything's going, the future of America are our children. They're being educated without considering that all words have a frequency and everything stored in the mind is stored energies.
Thomas, how did you come across this? You sound like you've written a position on this.
Well, a paper. I hope you'll hold that thought for a second, because I heard what you said. You'd like to have some interesting subject matters
that will change the creativity of the world and America. I also have another subject matter that's never been brought up before on this planet.
What was that?
We never talk about how the God particle works.
The Higgs boson.
The God particle is light. We never talk about how a person can, God did two things. He created the world. The second thing he did was create, he said, let there be light.
That's
from
right.
Light, everything evolved. All subject matters will talk around the God particle, but there aren't any subject matters how a person can bond themselves with God's particle that will bring them with their spirit and the whole creativity of the spirit of world of from heaven will be set free.
This is what I want you to do on both fronts, because it's a little complicated, but it's well worth looking into. Send me some little, some things that you've worked on that, because I sense you have, at george@coasttocoastam.com, and copy Coast Producer. I want Lisa, you get her website too, right off of the coasttocoastam.com website. I want her to look at it too. And we'll look at both of those for you. Interesting. I don't know how we're going to do it as a program, but it's well worth looking into. Let's go to New York. Dora's with us on Coast to Coast.
Yes,
hey, Dora.
George, I'm going to try to condense this story. It's a mystery here. It's a true story. It happened to me, to my family.
All right. What happened?
Okay. George, I was in my 20s taking care of my grandmother and the older aunt in near Culver City. So in those years, in the middle 60s, the President Johnson got a letter, aggressive letter to the President Johnson, but the letter has our address. So can you imagine who were in the door? The FBI. So I opened the door, you know, they knock in the door.
Uh-huh.
I opened the door. So they say to me, we are under investigation.
Are they investigating?
Well, now I tell you. So we didn't know, you know. So they didn't know English, and my English is a broken English. So I told Grandma didn't know what happened. So I say, Grandma, we are under investigation. So she got very upset, you know.
Sure.
So, well. So now the FBI say to me, where is the American person that lives with you here?
Who was that?
The American person, they say. So I say to them, sir, we are Cuban. No American person lives here. So they start walking around. You know, they start checking the living room.
Yeah.
So they found a big picture, only one big picture in the wall. So one of the agents say to me, that is American person. A lady. It's a lady in black in the picture, big picture. I say, yes, sir. We want to talk to her. So I say, I don't know, sir, she will talk to you.
Who is she?
Now I tell you. So he say, what? I say, we want to talk. I say, sir, she don't live here. So we want the address. So my grandmother say, what happened, Dora? I say, they want the address. So she say, what are you waiting? Give it to them. So I say to them, she lives in Westwood.
Okay.
So they take a paper, you know, to write. What is the address? I say, she lives in Westwood Cemetery.
Oh.
So the FBI say, what? She's dead, sir. She's dead? You know, because they don't believe you.
Yeah.
So he say, give me the name and the address. I say, sir, she's Marilyn Monroe.
Whoa.
The FBI say, what? So the two walk to the picture. No, that is a real picture. I said, yes, sir. But that can be Marilyn Monroe. I say, sir, yes. But, you know, George, she was profile holding the chain. And you don't see all the face like laughing or something like that. She was very sad. So I explained to her to them that was the last picture of her. Well, George, I am condensing the story, but they want to talk to Marilyn Monroe.
Well, didn't they know that she had already died?
Yes, they know, but the picture don't look like her because that was the last picture that Ben Stern took from her.
And
Ben Stern took the last picture.
If we looked at that picture, was she a blonde in that picture?
She's okay. You don't see the you see profile. She holding the chin,
okay.
And it's all black dress.
So they wanted to talk to that person. They wanted to talk to the woman, but they didn't know it was Marilyn Monroe who had died.
They got all confused.
What did they?
They got confused. What a Cuban family got a real picture, and why Marilyn looked so sad. Well, she was very depressed in the end. So
oh, yeah.
Ben Stern took those pictures, and that was one of the last. So, yeah, but you know, to have the FBI in our house, I am condensing the story, George. But you get very nervous, you know?
Oh, you get nervous. Nobody likes the FBI knocking on your door. That's
no,
for sure.
And my grandmother, you know, she started, bring the picture of your grandfather, because my grandfather was a top commander.
Well, let me ask you, Dora, what were you doing with a picture of Marilyn Monroe on your wall?
Huh? Honey? Why did I do it?
Yeah, why did you have a picture of Marilyn Monroe in your house?
Because, George, do you have time?
No, I have 30 seconds, unfortunately.
Okay, George, when I came from Cuba, I dreamed with her in Key Biscayne, Florida.
Yeah?
So, I am trying to condense everything.
I mean, let me ask you this, Dora. Did you know her? Personally?
No, because she died the same time that I came to the United States. She died on the 1st, and I came on the 11th.
They were
burying her in those days.
Okay, but you liked her, so you had a picture of her.
No, she was not my idol. My idol was Anna Magnani.
Who?
Anna Magnani. The
Anna
Italian
Magnani?
Lady.
I don't know
Anna
her.
Magnani, the Italian actress. Anna Magnani.
Why didn't you like Sophia Loren?
I Anna was before Sophia.
Anna Magnani.
You know what I mean? Sophia coming later.
Okay. All right. So, well, we're going to have to run too, Dora. This sounds like a story that might need a little more investigating to find out what the heck the FBI wanted with that woman. Strange things happened back in the 60s, didn't they? All kinds of weird things to be sure. Well, again, don't forget, stick with us. Live programs for you on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day night. We're going to have some fun on all those days. And of course, we've got a full cast of characters for you this weekend with John holding the fort down on Saturday. And my thanks to Rob Simone for helping us out on this coming Sunday. For the ailing George Knapp. George, you get better and get taken care of whatever you need to. Here's our dear buddy, UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling, Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night. And I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light. Also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause because you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
And for Dayton Galante, Jason King, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.